and welcome to Volunteering Discovery. This is a podcast which takes you behind the scenes of volunteering in health and care in Norfolk and Waveney. Volunteers enhance the experience of people accessing health and care in a huge variety of ways, in our hospitals, our communities, and even from the comfort of their own homes. I'm your host, Sarah, a volunteer coordinator working in the NHS. Why not subscribe to this podcast to make sure you hear all of the upcoming episodes in the series? In today's episode, we'll be meeting some of the team behind the Get Involved Innovation Fund. This forms a big part of the Volunteering for Health programme in Norfolk and Waveney that we introduced in the last episode. First, we'll be meeting Katta, who will talk us through what the Get Involved Innovation Fund is. Then Rick will share what support will be on offer to organisations who are awarded funding. We'll hear producer Jules' conversation with Katta first.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Katta. Can I start by asking you to introduce yourself to us and your part within the Volunteering for Health programme?
My name's Katta. I manage the Volunteering for Health Innovation Fund across Norfolk and Waveney. And what that means really is about creating systems and supporting organisations to help address the barriers that we know certain cohorts of volunteers or people who want to be volunteers will face.
But this is a new role within the Volunteering for Health programme. Was there a particular aspect about the role that encouraged you to apply for it that you were interested in?
Oh, actually, there was quite a lot. I'm like really fired up by seeking out innovative approaches across communities anyway. I've done that for the past 20 years or so, especially around kind of community and environmental challenges within kind of what works and what resonates on micro levels and within different ecosystems and within different communities. So I'm really interested in the different ways in which people might approach. Like, there's always a multiplicity of approaches that will work. And it's always literally the multiplicities that work rather than one single approach. So that was really interesting for me. Right now I work in community and environmental resilience with a grassroots CIC called Wastesmiths. I'm a director and a facilitator of one of the programs there. It's a Plant Allies community herbalism program there. And then more recently, I've spent a few years working in inclusive learning, both in a support role and then teaching and course leading, working specifically with the cohorts that this fund is working with, seeking to address similar barriers that people face. So this role felt like a really good fit to me, and I felt really excited about being in a different role within that wider circle of participants, of people, of community actionists or activist organisations.
Sounds like you're the perfect fit for the Innovation Fund, which is a really exciting opportunity. Could you tell us about the Innovation Fund, what it is and why you think we need it here in Norfolk and Waveney?
Yeah, so the Innovation Fund is essentially, it's a pot of funding and advice and guidance to help organisations explore new ways to make volunteering more inclusive and more accessible, specifically for those who work with adults with learning disabilities, autistic people, otherwise neurodivergent folk, and people who've been within the care system or who are a looked after child age 16 plus. So that's what the fund's about. It's about finding and supporting projects that support people from those groups to become volunteering ready or to experience volunteering. And the way in which it supports those groups is, like I said, is through funding, is up to £7,500 worth of funding. And also there's lots of kind of co-production opportunities. So it's really about how can we utilise the skills and experience of people across Norfolk and Waveney to create some innovative approaches that might actually work.
And if an organisation is interested in applying for the fund, what is the process for them?
They can go straight to the website. The website is www.getinvolvedskills.org.uk, and on there is the Innovation Fund. So that's what they're looking for, the Get Involved Innovation Fund. And on the website, the process is really clearly set out. And at the bottom, there are really clear tags that people can press. So there's like important information. There's the process of funding as a flow chart. And then there's the expression of interest form. And the expression of interest form is the form that they're going to be applying via. So they'll click on that and it will ask some questions there around the proposed project. The initial expression of interest won't be what goes forward to the awards panel. That's just a starting process. Once the expression of interest comes in, it comes straight to me. And then we start having conversations between myself and the organisation. There's a whole load of co-production work and partnership working that begins there. We have the conversations to make sure it fits the criteria and that it looks strong and that it meets the needs of our cohorts. Once we've had a number of conversations around how we make that a bit more robust, then we send that plan over to some peer guides. And those peer guides will be experts either in, location, or in the particular cohort that the original organization wants to work with, or they might have kind of general volunteering experience. They'll work on that together. So the peer guide will spend some time going through it, making comments, making any suggestions about how to make that plan more robust. It goes back to the original organization. And so effectively, we've had this lovely co-produced plan where you've got lots of expertise from across the counties, and then that plan goes forward to an award panel.
Once those applications have been received, how will they be assessed?
The awards panel are made up of people who have lots of good professional experience. Their decisions are rooted from that place. They're rooted from their understanding, their knowledge of people from those different cohorts. And we found that actually, we just had the first awards panel last week, and it was really clear how much experience and expertise there was on the panel. And they could ask really pertinent questions about, is this a decent person-centered approach for the cohorts that we're working with? Does this time frame work for people who have ADD, or will this work specifically for people who, you know, for autistic people? So those questions definitely come from that place of making sure that the projects will be supportive of those people in particular. And the kinds of questions they might be asking is, you know, how supportive are they? How person-centered are they? How accessible are these projects, both in terms of the recruitment and the delivery? What's new or innovative about this? Because it's an innovation fund. What are you addressing and how are you addressing that? So those are the key questions that the awards panel are asking.
So you mentioned ADD a moment ago. For those who aren't familiar with the acronym, could you explain what that means, please?
Yeah, so attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactive disorder. There's some controversy about whether or not people would classify these as disorders, but these are the acronyms that we're left with at the moment.
Once the successful applicants have been chosen, they've gone through the panel, and then they'll move into the delivery phase. Is there any support that will be offered to those organisations to get started?
So what's happening now for those who've just been to the awards panel, and what will happen for any future organisations, is that Community Action Norfolk and Community Action Suffolk, depending on whereabouts those projects are taking place, then step forward, they administer the grant funds, and also they provide the kind of guidance and support that they're well known for to support those organisations, to support their projects. And also from my perspective, I'm really, really looking forward to getting involved with seeing what the projects are like and seeing the impact on participants and what they're finding challenging and what they're finding really useful. So a lot of my role at that point will be literally monitoring what's happening, what's working, what's not working, and then seeing if there's anything additional that we can do to provide support.
What kind of learning are you hoping we'll capture through these innovations?
So I think what we're looking for is what's working on the ground. What have the barriers been for those particular organisations, for those people? Are those barriers what we were expecting? Or is there something different that we hadn't been aware of, that we weren't sure was going to happen? What's new? What did we not know? What level of support is required? What could be achieved in the time frame? So we had one application that came forward to us which looked like a really beneficial project. We could see it would be a great project for the community. Whether it can be achieved in the time frame and for that amount of funding was the question. That's definitely a question that we need to be asking. What can come out of decent co-production? What amazing explorations or serendipitous understandings come out of people working together who don't normally work together? And then I guess, what should we be supporting moving forward? We've built up some really useful pictures of what's working and what we can feed upwards and kind of horizontally. These projects need supporting elsewhere.
Something slightly unusual about this innovation fund is that rather than a focus on volunteer numbers, for example, the emphasis is more on learning. How will we know if the innovations have been successful?
The participants will tell us. When I go out and speak to the projects and speak to the participants, that's what I'm interested in, is what's the difference that's being made for them? What are they enjoying? What are they finding challenging? What are they not enjoying? That's all the kind of feedback we should be after. Also, we'll know if those volunteers have transitioned into volunteering. That's one aspect of it. For some projects, it's not about them being in volunteering yet. It's about getting them volunteering ready. Certainly, that would be a useful measure. And also, if those participants feel more ready, if they feel more able, more confident in those tasks. The intention is that we're going to look at base levels for participants and ask them what differences have happened for them along the way and how those differences have occurred. Also, moving away just from the participants, we can be speaking to the organisations who'll be able to show us, you know, the successes from their partnership working. We can log the amount of volunteering, but also the quality of volunteering, the quality of those placements and the impact. We can log accessible resources that have been created, which hopefully could be shared across different partners. We can log what they've been able to address in terms of the barriers and what difference that makes, not just for the participants, but for their communities in which they're working with.
You mentioned that a panel has recently met. What's coming next for the Innovation Fund?
We should have another round in the winter. We're hoping November, December time. Because this is new, there's still lots of learning for all of us. We're hoping to invite people to apply again in November, December. We'd really like to see more applications from Suffolk, from the Waveney area. We'd really like to see more applications around looked after children age 16 plus. And some of the applications that came through to us, we'd like to see some of those come back, but with some more clarification to make sure that our panel, who, as I said, are experts in their field, feel reassured that the participants who are going to be involved in those projects are properly safeguarded, that they're kept safe, and that they'll genuinely learn and benefit from the projects they're involved in.
We're coming to the end of our conversation today. Is there anything about this program, the Innovation Fund, that really excites you?
Yes, there's lots that excites me about it, really. I think mainly because I know from my background, I know so many of the barriers that people face in getting into volunteering. I've worked with young people who can't access volunteering because of travel or because of their feelings around travel, because of their own health needs, which aren't always linear. So they don't always fit into a kind of classic volunteering role. Sometimes because there's no extra capacity in their family or community to provide the extra support that they need. And generally just because they have support needs, you know, and without experience from having volunteered before, it's really hard for them to generate experience. We all know this when we apply for a job. If we don't have that experience, it's really hard to get on there. And it's the same for volunteering. I think that's what really excites me is look, we can do something about this. This is exploratory. This is not saying, you know, it has to be done in a particular way. It's saying, you guys are the experts. You're the people who work with these cohorts, these groups of people. You tell us. It's not a massive amount of funding. It's not meant to fund something huge. It's meant to fund an exploration as to what might work well for the future. And that feels really exciting for me.
So I've come to the end of my questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything that you think people should know about the Innovation Fund?
I think that, you know, we're really keen to hear from smaller organisations. You don't have to be massive if you've got experience of working with those groups, with anyone in those groups, or if you've got experience of good, strong partnerships. And certainly if you're in areas that aren't massively represented generally in the funding arena, then we'd like to hear from you.
As Kata mentioned, alongside the award of funding, the Innovation Fund offers support for organisations from Community Action Norfolk and Community Action Suffolk. To learn more about what is available, we'll meet our second guest.
My name's Rick Martin. I am the CEO of Community Action Norfolk.
For people not familiar with Community Action Norfolk, or CAN, could you tell us a bit about the organisation, please?
It's an infrastructure organisation, but by that I mean we provide support and advice to both communities, voluntary sector, faith groups. So basically anyone who's working in a community to ensure that they have everything they need to be the most effective, resilient organisation they can be. And to make that happen, we also do quite a lot of projects around specific areas such as cancer, social isolation, and a whole range of other various interesting ideas like that.
I think we're going to find out a bit more about what that might mean in practice shortly. But before we get into those details, could you tell us about the role of CAN within Volunteering for Health?
Sure. We're primarily looking at the Innovation Fund. Along with Community Action Suffolk, we've been asked to provide support for those successful candidates who identify a project that they want to deliver, preferably an innovative volunteering project. And our role will be to make sure that they are able to do that to the best of their ability and that any gaps that are there are found and helped. Because we know that if people are working to something new, very often they might not know all of the things that they could actually have alongside it. And that's part of our role as an infrastructure organisation working across Norfolk. We're in the middle of a lot of things. We can provide that support.
for the applicants to the Innovation Fund, some of them might be very small organisations. Could you tell us what kind of support they might be able to expect from CAN, the kind of activities that CAN is really skilled at?
We support a lot of organisations of all sizes, so from one person who's literally a Facebook kind of presence to very large charities across regional areas. If you're a relatively small organisation, a lot of the things that will come up will be checking that all of their governance and their structures are in place so that they aren't constantly chasing for a policy or whatever they might need. It's making sure that they understand what other funding is available, so they might want to complement what they're doing with something out with some additional funds. So we help them to identify through a range of different methods what kind of funding is out there. We look at how they are funding themselves to see whether there are other things they could do that would make it more robust. We'll look at kind of how they're planning to roll out the project that they've put forward, because it may well be we've seen something similar and we might have some really good tips and be able to tell them what they can do to make it better. We'll look at how they might assess its effectiveness. We'll provide them with templates and information around things like evaluation, around social impact, around how they might grow the project if it's really successful, and all the things that you might want to look for. And then we'll talk to them a little bit about what they do next. Where do they go next? And how do they capitalize on the work that they've just done?
Thinking about some of the conversations that we've had about the program and the data that's involved, I know for some organizations, the amount of data that we need to capture about the volunteers involved will be more than they expect. Is there support that CAN is able to offer with that?
Yeah, of course there is. Not only we can help them understand how the best way to record some of that information is, and it may well be that they think, oh, well, we're going to have to do lots and lots of gathering of data and information, but it might be that you do it really simply and you incorporate it in a feedback form that also asks a couple of extra questions. It does kind of depend what it is they're trying to do and what the impact of what they're trying to do is likely to be, because that's the essence of what we want to record. But we will look at our options that fit whatever it is they're trying to do best. We will help them understand what data they probably do need to collect and what they probably don't. We'll help them understand a little bit about GDPR as well, because it's important that people know what they can and cannot do with data that they've collected. So we'll certainly do a little bit of work around GDPR and probably a little bit about safeguarding as well, so that they're aware of the kind of things that they should be aware of anyway, but may not be if they're a small organization. And we can probably provide things like templates for spreadsheets to record information on. And it may be that there are other methods. We have, for instance, we buy into something called Social Impact Engine, which can work out, can calculate what your cost value is. So for every £1 spent, it was worth 12 or whatever it might be. And it uses hundreds and hundreds of proxies from across Europe. So it's a huge opportunity which we can make available, and basically it's whatever fits best with the needs that they've got and can provide them with the evidence that what they're trying to do is making a difference. And it might even be something as simple as, which well-being survey do you use if you're trying to improve people's like the well-being? And it could be anything from a full-on Edinburgh Warwick kind of questionnaire to a very short version of that, or to using smileys. It really does depend on what their project looks like, but we will help them to make that decision.
Brilliant. That's really interesting what you were saying about all the different methods for evaluation, because I know for some organisations it can be quite difficult actually to show or demonstrate the success of a programme involving volunteers.
Yeah, people get caught up in the wrong things sometimes and make the assumption that it's all about the numbers. And often what's really important is the case studies and the soft evidence. And they often don't collect that, because they assume that what people really need is, how many people did we get through the door? How long were they there? What did they do? And actually, they need to do that as well. But often the bit that's really important is how do we show that person's story? How do we show the impact that it's had? How effective has it been? And that is sometimes just a narrative. It's a question of maybe the best way to collect that evidence is to do a feedback form, but maybe it's to have a little video and have a little chat with somebody online. That we can also help with. We do teach things like social media support. So it might be that if that's the best way for them to collect the data and is also a good way for them to then promote what they're doing, we might be able to put some of that in place. That's the advantage, I think, of coming to somebody who works with community organizations all the time, is we have a very wide range of options and we can ask those questions, because we know what the solutions are in advance before they tell us usually. So hopefully we'll have the right solution for each of the groups that comes forward.
So we're coming to the end of our conversation today. Is there anything else you think that people should know about Community Action Norfolk?
I think the thing I really want people to understand about CAN is just the sheer breadth of work that we do. People are very, very well, everybody who's worked with us has heard of us. And we do about 700 cases a year, so we know there's quite a few of them. But we're like a ninja service. I mean, we don't promote ourselves in the way that some other organisations would. We're just in the background there to support groups. So I think if you've got a question and you've got a query or anything that's about how a community organisation runs or what it needs or what it might want to do, give us a call, because we almost certainly know.
Okay, and I've got one last question for you, which is, obviously, volunteering for health is quite different in that it is allowing for these innovations rather than being very prescribed. We've got to have X number of volunteers doing X number of things. Are there any things that you're hoping that we'll learn or understand better throughout the program?
I'd like to see two things. I think one, the actual volunteers themselves, I'd like to see them coming from groups that aren't traditionally being volunteering. When you consider one of the groups we want to work with is maybe, say, neurodiversity, having people with neurodiversity issues, at whatever scale, it would be great to have them as volunteers, understanding how it can then help their own well-being and support them. So that would be the first thing. And I think the second is actually to look at new things that maybe as a group they've never tried before, or new approaches to the way they've used volunteers. Because there's a kind of traditional model of volunteering where, you know, someone comes along in a time slot and does a specific thing. I'd like to see people using other people's skills maybe in a different way. So for instance, if somebody's a bit of a whiz with social media, actually volunteering could be showing somebody else how to be a whiz at social media as well. It could be using those skills to create something for another organization. It could be just spreading the word more effectively. All of those are volunteering, and they're not necessarily volunteering in the way that we would normally say, oh, you've come along to help in the office. So I think if we can use some creative ways to get volunteers active and doing things, and some new candidates, if you like, for volunteering itself, those two things would be really good. And if we could combine them, I suspect we could do something really interesting.
A big thanks to Katta and Rick for taking the time to speak to us about the Get Involved Innovation Fund. To find out more, see the details in the episode notes.
Please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review this podcast. It all helps people find us and spread the word about volunteering.
This podcast was produced for the Norfolk and Waverley Integrated Care System by Hospital Radio Norwich. Original music composed and performed by Philip Aldred. Interviews by Sarah Briggs and Jules Alderson.